And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. Well, this week we are happy to be joined by Miles Howard, who is a journalist, a travel writer, and has become, over his career, increasingly focused on what we would call the nexus between urban living and outdoor recreation, right? And that's kind of a specialized topic for someone to become concerned with. So Miles, welcome to the show. How are you doing? Thank you for being here.
Nice to be here, Ted. Thanks for having me.
That's good. So the nexus of urban living and outdoor recreation, that sounds fairly specific. Can you maybe describe what you mean by that? But then fill me in on how your life path went from that little baby your mom, when she kissed you on your forehead and sent you out to first grade, to what you are doing now. How did that happen? So first of all, tell me about the connection you see between these urban living and outdoor recreation.
So I think that the crossover of living in an urban area and using green spaces like woods or parks for hiking or other activities, I think a lot of us experience that through a more urbanized lens than actually living or being rooted in the countryside, where we tend to associate hiking with and where many of us actually begin our hiking. And for me, that was pretty much how it began. I grew up in Winchester, about 10 minutes outside of Boston, connected by commuter rail. And my family lived right next to the Middlesex Fells. And I mean, the woods there just became our place for so many things, whether it was just a restorative walk. One of my birthday parties growing up, my dad buried a chest of treasure in the woods and we went hunting for it, you know, around the undergrowth there, which is one of my fondest early memories of using a green space in an urban area. And, that's part of it. But I think that the other reason why this nexus intrigues me so much is because looking ahead to the future, cities are going to become more and more important for climate change conducive living. And it begs the question, well, what happens to hiking and outdoor recreation? And how do we do this more often if more of us are going to be living a more urbanized life? And I think there's tremendous opportunity to create more green space and opportunities for outdoor recreation within urban areas, but there's actually a lot of it right under our noses right now. One of the best examples locally is Boston's Emerald Necklace, this long chain of parkways that you can literally take a 9-mile hike through in the middle of a city, you know, fueled by stops at, you know, craft breweries or Italian restaurants on the way if you want. So, you know, I mean, and that's the other thing about, you know, the crossover here is, you know, don't get me wrong, I love going to the White Mountains or Northern Maine for, you know, a few days of just being eaten by mosquitoes and climbing big mountains. But I also really love, you know, being able to, you know, have a more decadent green space experience in a city where you also have all of these cosmopolitan recreational things at your fingertip too. And I think for a lot of people who have never really gone, hiking or anything like that, that can be kind of a nice gateway. So
I think that begs this question in my mind. And I guess I have to tread very carefully because I don't have like a lot of citation stuff to talk about. But I mean, I used to travel to Japan, and my impression and some stuff I've read is that in Japan, nature, in quotation marks, is highly curated, right? Everyone's looking at the cherry tree. We look at the cherry blossoms, and people commune with nature in a way that is wildly different from a raft trip down the Columbia River through the Grand Canyon, right? And so the definition of what you consider nature to be and how you relate to it is very, I mean, I think to your point, I mean, the relationship to nature that you can experience in a city is just as valid as climbing to the top of Mount Washington. And we may be needing to explore that more, controlled version of nature. Is that fair?
I think absolutely. And I mean, actually, a lot of those places that we tend to associate with hiking, like Mount Washington, are a lot more planned and maintained than many of us realize. I mean, you know, what public land management is, you know, an enormous component of what makes hiking possible. And all those trails that people, take up to the summit of Washington are, you know, were built over many years and are rigorously maintained by construction crews today. And so I think that the idea of the great outdoors beyond cities is this vast and, you know, uncharted and untamed space really only applies to some particularly remote areas of the U.S. The real destinations where many people head for outdoor rec, there's a lot of planning going on there too, just as you have with urban parks.
Right. So, I mean, it's all on a continuum. And the urban park, which I think is an idea that is worth your study, is a very interesting concept. So tell me, you were in the Fells. Did your father give you a GPS? Are you young enough to have had like a smartphone with a GPS to go find, to go geocaching and find the treasure? Or were you out, you know, coming back with ticks on you? And
they no, he pretty closer to the second one. No, he was old school. I mean, he literally, you know, my parents literally drew like an old pirate map and they hid it in a crack in the basement in our house, basically. And then they plucked it out as if to say, hey guys, we just found this, you know, and it points to a chest of buried loot off in the Fells. And what they had done, I mean, this was so cool. And I mean, they staged clues, you know, they hid little notes in trees and under rocks in the Fells. And we, you know, we're probably out there for about 2 to 3 hours getting to the spot where we finally dug up this chest full of, I think it was chocolate coins or something like that. But, you know, we did. This was very pre-digital world, I would say. You know, we had nothing but a hand-drawn map and our own sense of abandon. You know,
do you find yourself sort of unconsciously recreating that by searching for things as you hike now?
You know, I think that what I kind of taken from that is when I go and do any sort of hike, whether it's in an urban green space like the Emerald Necklace or whether it's somewhere remote like Baxter State Park, you know, there's always something that I want to go and find there. And it's not necessarily the superlative destination like a peak or a waterfall. You know, it might be, you know, hearing a rumor about, hey, this trail has really cool bog bridges that go through this beautiful alpine marsh at one point, you know, and that's the thing that kind of drives me. Or, you know, more recently, I've been training to do a pretty big hike that I haven't done in several years. I had to take some time off recently because of a sports injury. But, you know, what I've been doing to try to get similar elevation gain in one day, this is a big white mountain hike where you climb over 3,000 feet, is I've been going to Blue Hills and using a few online tools to trace, okay, if I climb up and down this hill 3 times, then I'll get a similar burn and workout to what I'll be doing up in the Whites. So, you know, it can really run the gamut, but I like to set out on hikes with some sort of a, you know, loose, manageable goal. But, you know, I'm at the same time, that makes me sound so type A with hiking, which I'm really not. You know, I'm very flexible. You know, if I see something on a hike that intrigues me too, whether it's a park or the wilderness, I mean, I'll follow that thread for a little bit too. So, you know.
So how do you find hikes? I mean, if people wanted to, you know, we're coming out of the, you know, presumably coming out of the pandemic where we don't have to wear masks outside so much anymore, things like that. Where do you find things? Is it like years of experience? You know them all already? Or are there, where would you send people to look?
Well, I definitely benefited from growing up in an area, in a family, and certainly a region where I was regularly exposed to hiking, partly through, you know, guidebooks we had lying around, but especially to just, you know, especially via just invitations and, you know, also habitual experience. My parents had hiked a fair amount growing up. I mean, that is the gateway a lot of people have. And actually, one of the things that I'm really trying to do with my coverage about the outdoors is highlight the, you know, barriers of knowledge about hiking that still exist, and, you know, and really recognizing groups that are really trying to expand that to, you know, to demographics that you don't generally see in the woods quite as often too, which is changing a lot now, thankfully, particularly thanks to the work of organizations like Outdoor Afro. But growing up, I mean, hiking was something that I kind of learned through, you know, being grandfathered into the tradition through my family. But beyond there, you know, I think that guidebooks are an especially useful thing that people should not overlook right now, even in the age of digital tools like AllTrails, because a lot of those, a lot of the websites that curate trails tend to, you know, really spotlight the most well-used popular ones and regions. But guidebooks can contain some surprisingly off-map hikes still that a lot of people might not know about, stuff that could be outside the purview of a big state park or a large city, you know, in a more overlooked suburb that could have some really cool and expansive, you know, forested areas. But that said, I don't want to knock the online tools entirely, because actually during the pandemic, I've found one thing I found very useful on the website AllTrails, which is kind of like a Yelp for hiking trails, basically. They have this map feature where you can pretty much just look at any area and see where trails exist. And I mean, these trails could be anything from a very well-known hike to, again, like, you know, community trails that almost nobody knows about in some random part of your state. And what I would do, you know, during the real periods of social isolation here in Boston is I would just look at the metro area, find green parcels with visible trail maps where I had never been before, where I didn't even know trails existed, and I would go and explore them. One of my favorites was actually right off of the Minuteman bike path in Arlington. It's a section called the Great Meadows, right on the Arlington-Lexington border. And usually you just breeze past there on your bike. It's this nice marshy meadow. It's pretty to look at. But in fact, there's a whole system of trails running through that marsh with, you know, like boardwalks and, you know, cool little, you know, riverways. And I never would have known it was there if it weren't for looking at the AllTrails maps. So I think that, you know, there, this stuff is a lot more accessible than it was when I was growing up, which is no doubt a factor in getting more people outdoors. But those are my tried and true approaches.
I think it's a great thing from the climate hawk perspective, that we as a culture are moving towards new appreciation of the gifts we still have, protecting the things we still have, and this kind of, you know, take a walk in the woods would you say that you feel like you're, I keep coming back to sort of the, what's the word? Not the Revenant, but sort of these what was the Grizzly Adams kind of thing, right? You know, yeah. Conquering nature. I mean, that whole concept of conquering nature is like this thing in and of itself. I mean, I think we're past that. I would guess you're past that, right? You're appreciating. And so it's not like you have to be prepared for 4 days in the wilderness at below freezing temperatures to go out on these hikes. And that's a good thing. And people should be trying to do that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, actually, I love that you mentioned The Revenant at first right there, because I think that's one of the most powerful movies about climate change to have come out in the last decade or so. I mean, granted, it's set centuries ago, but what you see is the entire backdrop of this movie is just the ruination of the natural world at the hands of man, which, you know, being trappers in that film and, you know, encroaching industries. So, you know, just want to note that first. But, thinking about the... Ted, I'm so sorry. I got a little sidetracked from the original question you asked there at the end. Can you repeat that?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is what I'm trying to do is paint a picture for our audience that may not be hikers, right? And that there are nature trails that are available. There are places you can go and have a legitimate experience that doesn't require you to be a wilderness person. Right? I guess what I'm trying to get at is that's the kind of thing you are pointing at, although you're probably pretty adventurous, more adventurous than most people, but all the stuff is there, right? And it's good for people, climate hawks, to sort of take a moment and take a, you know, look at that pond and that water lily and take a deep breath and say, yep, it's, life is still good.
100%. I mean, I could not agree more that that is a really crucial part of expanding, you know, not just access to the outdoors, but also our idea of what outdoor recreation is, what hiking is. I mean, a lot of people still, I mean, look at the peak bagger mentality when it comes to, you know, you've got various groups that are all about summiting the toughest mountains in, you know, regions where they live, which is really fun, more power to them. I love, you know, a good technical schlep up something like Mount Katahdin too. But I mean, you know, recreationally and professionally, I've really been interested in highlighting the quote unquote easier experiences that can be just as serene and lovely and transcendent for people. It could be, you know, hiking across a series of waterfalls in the backcountry, or, you know, in Boston, it could be just wandering from the Arnold Arboretum up to the Common over the course of a lazy afternoon and feeling at the end of it, hey, I just went hiking and that was great. You know, I think that with a more expansive definition of what outdoor rec can be, you know, I think that bodes really well for, you know, cities and suburbs being recognized as areas where that kind of recreation is possible in the near future, which would be, you know, which is something that I try to encourage with my writing as much as possible.
Well, that's great. What we'll do is put up some links to some of the stuff that we talked about. I got All Trails and Outdoor Afro, I think you mentioned. We'll put that's up links right. to as much of the stuff as we can on the blog. The blog will be at massclimateaction.org/blog, linked to this show. If you have a question about the show or have any suggestions of things we ought to talk about, send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what we ought to be talking about. If you're listening to this on your smartphone, please have all your friends listen to it to us on their smartphones. It's your climate action for the week to get other people to listen to the Climate Minute. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Miles, thank you for taking us on this very pleasant walk through the virtual wilderness, virtual nature. It's great to have you here.
Anytime, Ted. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.